CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host, Bill Raggio, of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He keeps the Long War Journal with his colleagues. And one of the postings on the Long War Journal I recommend highly is David Dayoud of FDD, posting on the Hezbollah threat. David, from the Second War, it is clear that air wars are spectacular morale boosters for the home front. When you're standing by your ruins, you're losing. When he's standing by his ruins, he's losing. However, it does not win the war. You need a ground element to back up the air war. Latani River is the target, I believe, of everybody's ambition to move Hezbollah north of Latani, which is, according to documents, where they should be right now. When? How? Is Israel capable of launching that attack in the present condition, David?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you say air campaigns don't win wars. This is the lesson of the Second Lebanon War, where of all Israel's military branches, the Air Force performed spectacularly, but then they ran out of target. And in terms of the bulk of Hezbollah's arsenal, which are these Katyusha rockets, these relatively short-range projectiles, this continues to be the bulk of Hezbollah's arsenal, which they can do tremendous damage to northern Israel. These are launched from mobile launchers, trucks, tripods, what have you. By the time the Air Force finds the coordinates of the launch site, they're gone. So in order to stop that threat, which could metastasize into firing of, and you know, lower estimates, 1,500 rockets a day at northern Israel, up to 4,000 to 6,000 more recent estimates, rockets a day fired at Israel. By point of comparison, throughout the Second Lebanon War, 34 days, 4,000 rockets total were fired at northern Israel. You're going to have a ground invasion that pushes these rockets out of range of northern Israel. That range is this, you know, the Litani River, the 40-kilometer line that has been the magic number for these rockets since the 1982 South Lebanon invasion. At the same time, which became the first Lebanon war, at the same time, keeping things contained to South Lebanon is going to be tricky. Hezbollah also has a longer range component to its arsenal, drones, precision-guided missiles, unguided missiles that can reach as far as Tel Aviv. So even if you push past that 40-kilometer, Hezbollah can still rain destruction on Israel. So if they activate that part of their arsenal, can the Air Force alone deal with it? They have more capability with dealing with these longer range rockets because of their more stationary, larger nature. But at the same time, you may have to be forced to push further into Lebanon. Can Israel do it? That's a question. Militarily, I think the IDF, I mean, this, you know, the first Lebanon war, the Israelis drove up on three axes northward into Lebanon up to the Beirut-Damascus highway. This war would require them, however, not just to enter Beirut into Dahiyeh, if we're assuming a ground invasion, and enter up into the central sector, but to go northwards all the way up to Baalbek, at least in eastern Lebanon, in order to deal with Hezbollah, which has positioned itself that far deep into Lebanon. But also, you may have then a Syrian component to this. Let's not forget that for the past years, Hezbollah has been turning Syria into its strategic depth, and that might spread the IDF's forces, ground forces, too thin to be able to deal with Hezbollah if they anticipate a ground invasion and move their forces accordingly to hamper the impact of the ground invasion on their organizational structure.
Bill, you have a question.
David, can Israel afford to come to an agreement with Hezbollah to return to the status quo after the we're approaching 1 year of daily attacks by Hezbollah on northern Israel? Is that something that's viable?
Absolutely not, because what we're dealing with is not a situation where two foes come to terms permanently. And I'm not talking, again, not talking about peace. Modus vivendi. We will never fire a rocket at you. We will never threaten you. We will never come after you from both sides, right? That's not something that Hezbollah can accept. It is antithetical to the organization's ideology, its DNA, which is focused not just on, you know, liberating, as they would say, some spots of disputed territory with Israel, but on Israel's destruction. You know, the only thing Israel can do to placate Hezbollah is to cease to exist, and this is something they've said repeatedly. So a situation where there's a mere restoration of quiet along the border, something that existed pre-October 8th when Hezbollah began attacking Israel, what this would allow is, if not immediately, at least in time, and maybe in the span of a few short years, we've talked about this, Bill, right? The return of Hezbollah's forces to the border, the continuation of Hezbollah's buildup of its arsenal, a claim of victory, additionally, a strategic victory for Hezbollah, where they can say, and they've already started saying this, right? Nasrallah issued this challenge to Prime Minister Netanyahu and Defense Minister Galant the other day, that if you can return your forces, or your people, rather, your citizens to the north by force, I dare you to. And if they can't, what Nasrallah is going to say is, look what we accomplished here. The Israelis couldn't return their forces, their people home, the residents of the north, the displaced residents of the north home, through their own force. They had to beg us, and we had to allow them to return. So if in May 2000, we drove Israel out of South Lebanon, this time we drove Israel out of northern occupied Palestine. Our people, our supporters who have been suffering all this time, our goal is closer to accomplishment. Be patient. Continue this. This will be a tremendous strategic victory for Hezbollah, a narrative victory for Hezbollah. If we consider how much room for growth and support that the May 2000 victory provided them, alleged victory, how much more so will this provide them? Will this also allow them to repair their battered image in the Arab world, which was damaged after all the slaughter they inflicted upon Syrians for several years? So this would leave Hezbollah not just in a better position to continue attacking Israel in the north. It would allow them this strategic victory, this narrative victory. Beyond that, the impact on Israeli morale will be deleterious. I mean, if you look at a situation that existed, I think, in March 2023, there were reports of Hezbollah operatives fighting, lighting laser pointers into people's homes in northern Israel, in Metula. Imagine a situation like that, where you either have threatening Hezbollah signs up in Hebrew across the border, sounds of digging along the border, or even laser pointers shined into Metula, with the events of October 7th in the ominous backdrop. I think a lot of Israelis will not return home, and Israel will essentially be acquiescing de facto to a depopulation of a lot of its border communities, which could have long-term implications for Israel's deterrence and Israel's longevity even.
David, Iran is the center of this. Hezbollah was always understood as an insurance policy for Iran. If you go after Tehran, we'll turn loose Hezbollah. The insurance policy is now tattered. Does that change the strategic situation for Iran's war on Israel? We have a minute.
Not necessarily. I think that's one component of the utility that Hezbollah offers Iran. It also is the tip of the spear for Iran's regional expansionism. Think every country that Iran has ever gone into, you know, Lebanon, obviously, Iraq on the coattails of our forces, Syria, Yemen. Hezbollah has been there first to lay the groundwork to act as kind of that Arab face for Iranian intervention, to help build up local groups that will be subservient to Iran in the West Bank, you know, and in the Gaza Strip as well. This would be a tremendous damage to Iran if Hezbollah is lost to that regional expansionist project. Even if Hezbollah is damaged now, it can still serve that purpose. So Iran hasn't really been set back strategically. It's a minor setback, assuming Hezbollah is allowed to survive. They can continue to perform this goal and meanwhile rebuild their arsenal in quiet in the shadow of a ceasefire.
David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, our eyes on Hezbollah. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, FDD, keeping the Long War Journal, where you can find Mr. Daoud's postings. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.